Good to be back. Happy New Year. I hope you're prepared for a good, healthy New Year this year and a wonderful time with God. And, you know, as the body of Christ, He doesn't leave anyone out. The moment you're born again, you have a call on your life. See, but you're not called to fail. You're called to succeed. But He won't choose you until you pass His tests. Can I preach a little bit this morning? See, you're called for one purpose, to be chosen. Being called does not qualify you to be chosen. Many believers know, have a glimpse of their calling, have an idea of their calling. So many have given up on their calling, they just started to call it fellowship. I'm just called to fellowship with God. Well, we're going to be spending eternity with heaven fellowshipping with God. You have to realize you have a purpose on this earth, in the family of God. And it's not only to fellowship. It's to fulfill the family business. There's a world that needs to be touched and changed and rescued from hell. The whole world, the whole entire world, every person born of Adam, every baby born, they're going to live and die and go to hell. They're born on a train that's locked. There's no escape. They're born to live and die and spend the rest of eternity in the lake of fire. That's Adam's gift to the world. But Jesus came to rescue us. Amen? He broke through that door and opened a new door and said, I'm here to bring you out of the world of Adam and into the world of God. No longer of the human race, but born of this new race called the children of God. How many here are born of the children of God? There's a purpose for you beyond living for yourself. There's a purpose for us. The reason we sacrifice, if we want to call it that, lay our life down and don't live chasing our dreams, and is because we believe there's something for us to do for Him. There's something for you to do for the gospel. And yes, as a group, we're walking towards miracles. Not just a nice service of miracles, but where we carry it with us wherever we go. Our workplace, our homes, out on the street. Yes, we're believing for finances, for billions of dollars to come flowing through the gospel, for the gospel. But I don't want you to ever feel that that's not you. Let me explain that. Oh, well, I'm never going to be a billionaire, so I guess I'm just here. I'm never going to be a preacher, so I guess I'm just here. You understand the hundreds and hundreds of years of religion that has built that into our mindset, that the church is the fivefold ministry and then the rest of the people. And unless you're in the fivefold ministry, you're really just not that important. But see, we're a body. He calls us a body. And every part of the body is important. You know, cut your toe off, you find out you miss it. And it's important, what I'm hearing for this year and for us, is to acknowledge that you're part of the body. That you are part of the body. And you might say in your heart, well, I don't really do anything, or I'm not that great at anything, or I don't have much to offer. See, that's a lie. That is the devil in religion trying to tell you, just sit and be quiet. That's all you're good for. We don't pray in tongues just to pray in tongues. No, I'm not trying to be unspiritual to you today. But if I had to choose, if I had a choice, go spend 20 hours praying in tongues or go spend 20 hours doing something else, like water skiing or snowboarding or playing hockey, or you might say it's, well, you should want to go pray in tongues. But see, the only reason I want to pray in tongues is not to spend 20 hours going, do you ever look in the mirror? The reason we want to pray in tongues is not just to pray in tongues. God's not impressed with our tongue talking. It's the reason we pray in tongues is to get to a place that we can't get there on our own. The reason we pray in the Holy Spirit, the reason we fast, the reason we seek God instead of chasing our own dreams. So much of the church has given up on believing God for miracles. That they've begun, the churches have begun to do things for God in the name of God and then try to offer it to Him. Saying, here, God, look what we did for you, but God doesn't want our offerings. He wants you. He wants your life. There's a trust with Him where you and I trust Him and abandon ourselves. We don't figure out our plans. We don't figure out our future. We trust Him. And there's a scary place sometimes, especially when you start, because you lose the power to fix it. See, there's a path that God has for you right now. The moment you're born again, there is a path laid out for you. Praying in tongues doesn't build that path. It helps you to stay on that path when everything against you tries to get you out. Because you know the devil and in your spirit, your natural soul, I mean, your emotions will trick you. They'll act spiritual. There's been times in my past I heard God, but it wasn't God. It was my flesh pretending to be God. It sounded just like Him. And it was telling me to do spiritual things, good things. The reason was my flesh wanted me, and the devil wanted me off of the path that God had and onto a path that looked very similar, but it was me in charge instead of Him. You are part of the body of Christ. I'm not talking to the person next to you, I'm talking to you. And however small you think you are, or however big you think you are, there's no man more important in the family of God than you. There's no calling more important than your calling. And what has religion done but tried? Has got so many Christians striving to be someone great, to do something great, so that they feel like they did something for God. We're not supposed to strive. We're supposed to rest in Him. Rest in His steps. But I don't like His steps. I heard people over the years complain about where they are. I got this complaint. I got that complaint. This person did this. That group did this. The pastor did this. Didn't do this. Should have done that. So they come up with a logical, truthful reasons to let go of the will of God and to fix it and make their own will. How many times have I heard from people who left the will of God and started their own will, and they called me and said, oh, Pastor Allen, you said I miss God, but really, everything's going wonderful. I feel peace now. I'm being blessed. I'm giving double tithe. I'm serving in this area. I'm serving in that area. And they begin to tell me their story of sacrifice, because the first thing you do when you stop obeying is you start to sacrifice to make up for your bane. And there's a fight with your will that will say, let's do this and this and this and this and this for God and give Him these things rather than stay in this place of His will where I have all these reasons of why I should move or change or fix it. But what does that have to do with anything? The only answer you could give is, He told me. And if He told you, a lot of times He doesn't tell you why. There was a time I was at Brother Norville's. I'd been there for a number of years. And I went through a season of being real frustrated. In fact, I was frustrated where I hated just showing up every day. And I remember during that season, I heard God tell me, it's time to move back to Canada. Because I always felt I was supposed to go to Canada. Still do, but just don't know when. But I always felt that. And I heard this voice say, it's time to go back to Canada. Go start your church. Had a wonderful opportunity to show up right after that. So I told, I think, one or two friends. The Lord's told me, so I'm going to depart I figured January 1st was a good time to get out of Dodge, you know. But here's what I said to God. I said, God, right now I'm very frustrated. And you don't work in frustration. I don't have peace. I said, so I believe I heard you, but I'm not going to implement what I heard until I have peace. And when I have peace, then I'll make my move. For 3 months, everything was miserable. But I still did it. I still did my responsibilities. Then January 1st, I woke up. I had complete peace. And nothing in me wanted to move. Everything was fine. And the Lord told me, you just had a test of your soul. And you survived it. Let's look over here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. We'll kind of bounce around here a bit this morning, I think. I used to think that after I heard about praying in tongues from Pastor Dave, I thought, well, we have all these churches. We pray more than the other churches, so we kind of have a higher tree. You know, our tree grows a little higher than everyone else. But as I get more into this, I find out that we're really a different tree. That the walk of the Spirit is one of selflessness, of complete trust in God. That God will walk you into everything He's promised you. Because the other trees, not that they're lacking salvation, but they implement a part of you do this for God. You know, come bring your offering. Don't worry about leaving it here and going to forgive that brother. Just give your offering and God will bless you abundantly. See, there's a part of your power that you have that if I want more wealth, I just have to give more. But that doesn't work when you follow God, because God won't let you sidetrack what He tells you to do. Look at verse 13, chapter 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, verse 14, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, when you look at these two gates, I haven't studied this out, but I've heard someone who said they studied it out. So they said the wide gate and the narrow gate are the same size. The only difference is in the narrow gate, there's so many obstacles that it's a narrow path you have to follow to get past it. Because here it says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Let's come over to verse 25 of chapter 6. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. I'll stop right there. This is a message from Jesus for His body. And I want us to know the difference. You know, I've been trying to describe the differences. There are lambs that come to church. We're not a lamb church. You know, if you come here as a lamb, you'll be growing up real quick. We'll fat you fast. Here, eat this. One pastor told me, he got accused of stealing other people's sheep. He said, well, I'm not stealing their sheep. You know, when you got two farms right next to each other and the sheep over there get so skinny because they're not being fed, they crawl through the fence because they fit. And they get fattened up on this side, they can't get back through the fence. So if you come to this church as a lamb, we're going to fatten you up as quick as we can. But there's some people who want to stay lambs, and religion for the centuries have made it possible because they have ingrained and marked in our brain, branded our brain with the idea of what church is. That is so much in us that it's hard to us to see what Jesus is really talking about. See, a lamb is someone who needs to be loved. What you need to tell them every time you see a lamb, he loves you. You're okay. He's behind you. He's going to love you forever. See, that's what a lamb needs to hear. But a sheep, someone who's grown maybe or matured, I'm just trying to show the difference, doesn't need to hear that. He loves you. They'll hear, he loves you, but you need to get over that. He loves you. You should probably stop that. You know, but the lamb, you say, oh, don't quit smoking. Don't let that run. You just love God, and he'll help you with those things. But see, we don't want to hurt the lambs or chase them away. But to the sheep, who wants to be part of the kingdom, has been for a while, hey, we should probably try to handle that. You know, because a sheep can hurt people. A lamb can't hurt a lamb, but a sheep can hurt them. I don't want to preach on stuff. Because the moment you start nowadays, you start preaching standards, and they call you religious. Oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay here. Because I'm not religious. But I love when religious people in their open shirts and their shorts look at you and call you religious. Say, you don't know how religious you are. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Somewhere over the centuries, it's been brought in us that church has to do with going to a building, living your life, and giving God offerings. Offering of your time, offering of your money, sacrifices of things. See, what we learn is I don't mind sacrificing time. I don't mind sacrificing dreams. I don't mind sacrificing things today because I want to get something from God in the future. But the church in religion has had us sacrificing the wrong things. Because the one sacrifice that God wants from you is not your money, it's not your time, it's you. He wants you to let him have you. And that sounds cute until he asks you to do something you don't want to do. Then it becomes a question. Well, God, isn't it okay for me just to rather give this to you and that to you? He's not interested in that. He's interested in you. And this is where you and I have to grab hold of. Because even in your dysfunction, in your struggles, in your personal failings, he overlooks all of that if you give him you. Not that he won't ask you to walk out of it, but it doesn't stop him from moving you forward. Many of you have had the same struggle I have. He starts walking you forward. You're like, me? Wait, I'm supposed to be perfect. Am I supposed to be perfect? First time I asked to preach, I was just 18 years old. And they asked me to preach. I didn't know. I wasn't raised in church. So I didn't know scripture. I didn't know much. And I remember the first thought I had was, me? Don't you have to be perfect before you preach? Well, in God's eyes, you don't have to be perfect before he leads you forward. You have to be his. There are many people who will look at you as he moves you forward and say, oh, I could do that better. I'm holier than they are. I prayed more than they have. I know a word better than they do. But God doesn't move them forward because he's interested in one thing. Will you give him your life, your steps? Not just today, but when it's hard, when it gets difficult. Or do you have to get God to give you something to keep you happy? Because if you have a price, the devil will pay it. He'll give you ministry. The devil would rather have you minister to a few people than to bring in millions. Oh, okay. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now listen to this. This is a comment. It's not for the church. You can't preach this in lamb's churches, because they'll starve to death if you tell a lamb. Don't worry about your life. Because a lamb is someone who still, I'm trying to paint the difference in here. A lamb is someone who only wants to be taken care of. Only wants to receive. See? Who needs to be told they're good. That he loves them. Is that, can I say it like that? But a sheep, someone who's mature, starts to look at how I come to church to give. Not just to receive. I went to that church, and then I quit getting fed. Well, that's a point where you grow. There's a place in following God where you don't do things for you anymore. You do things for Him. And you do things for others. So therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Who's this for? Do not worry about your life. Let me say that again. Do not worry about your life. There is a fear that's in the churches today that makes people worry about their life. Your retirement, your family, your future dreams. How many have dreams that you've been waiting for God to bring to pass? All of us do. But if you let fear get you, you'll start questioning if it's okay if He will take care of you. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink. Nor about your body. What you will put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now I know we've heard this 1,000 times, but I want us to, with a heart, grab hold of what He's saying here. Because I believe He's talking to those who have given up their life for Him. And He wants you to know, if you've given up your life, you only have to worry about one thing. What does my Father have for me? Not about where's your money going to come. See, this is what's powerful about this. Because this has to do with obedience. You don't have to confess in your provision. You don't have to give in your provision. You have to obey Him, and He promises you. If you obey Me, you don't have to worry about your future. You don't have to worry about your finances. You don't have to give for God to feed you and clothe you. See, there's a part of Christianity, and as I fumble through today, I'm trying to describe the difference between the path where a believer follows their will, but they serve God. They lay down their time and their life for God, but they're still in charge. And the path that He has for you, which commands complete trust in Him for everything. Your calling, your dreams, your finances, the prayers you've prayed. There's a trust that says, God, as I give my life to You, I know that You'll take care of me. Maybe you heard this statement. If you take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business. Now that works on this path. If you do what God says and you have to let go of things, you can trust that He's going to take care of your business. But on this other path where you make decisions, you say, well, bless God, I'm just going to go this and God will take care of it. And you find out He doesn't. Because you're deciding. You decide where to give, what to do. I remember coming to church here, and I don't know if it was Gary or who it was, I said, well, I don't give in every offering. Well, I have been trained, you give in every offering. So I remember the first time I didn't give in an offering. I was like, you mean I don't have to? Obedience. You can't offer God sacrifice to replace it. Don't worry, he says. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now, I'm not preaching to the lambs today. I'm preaching to the sheep. Do not worry about your life. And we all know that doesn't mean, oh, praise God, I don't have to work. No, it means if he's told you to do something, then everything you let go of to make that happen, he'll take care of for you. I was praying about my loved ones up in Canada. And I said, God, I got nephews and nieces now being born. And they're, you know, working on the oil rig, some of them. They're not really church folk. I said, you know, I should live there because I can get them all saved. I'd be the preacher to my family. But you have me thousands of miles away in a different country. I said, please send me back home. Let me go back home. Because I was worried that they're not going to get saved. I was afraid. Hold your finger there. Come back one chapter, or chapter 6, or one page of mine. Chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may have seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. And here's what the Lord told me using these scriptures. Father, I need to go up there. Because I used to harass my family. My sisters, they wouldn't be in church. I would harass them. It got to the point that when they saw me coming, they would avoid me. And they started to resent me because they looked at me like I wasn't looking at them. I was looking at their soul. Like, I got to get that soul in heaven. I don't care about you. I care about you going to heaven. And as I was praying, the Lord used this verse to show me. I was like the hypocrite. Because I said, God, I'm doing your work. I'm winning souls. I'm preaching to them. I'm getting them born again. I'm trying to get them born again. I'm talking to them about the gospel. I'm getting a reward. He said, no, you're not. He said, you got your reward. What do you mean? I'm preaching the gospel. Here's what he told me. You get your reward of people looking up to you. Because I didn't tell you to do that. Well, you said to go out in all the world and preach the gospel. Here's what he told me. The only reason you attack your family is because you're afraid that your prayers won't work. You're afraid. And it could be out of love, of course. I don't want to see him go to hell. But see, here's my problem. I have family. My mama's been married a few times. You'd all love my mom. I gotta be careful. She's coming to visit, so. Don't tell her that I preach about her. Just only good. But my mama's been married 5 times. You know, she wasn't saved before all those times, so. But I have 10 brothers and sisters. half-brothers, step-brothers, doctor brothers and sisters. And there's some of my siblings that won't talk to me. And so if I believe that the only way for me to get my family saved is for me to live next door and harass them in the church, see, I limit what God can do. Because I have a promise here. I've got brothers who won't talk to me, but they'll be happy when I see them in heaven. I don't have to talk to them. I just have to pray for them. See, what the Lord told me was out of fear that prayer did not work, I was taking it into my own hands and trying to get them saved. And I was doing a bad job of it. Because how many know God could do much better than you and I can do? Not just in the salvation of your family. How many know that God could do a better job with your finances? Well, I wish He'd start doing better now. I don't see anyone lacking right now. After Christmas, we all look pretty healthy. He is a wonderful provider. He is a better provider for my children than I ever could be. Because that was one of the arguments when He told me to follow Him and to not work. He told me. One of the arguments that came up in me was, you need to be a man and take care of your kids. Well, I found out He does a better job of that than I ever could. So in following God as sheep, if I can say it that way, in obeying God with your life, there is a promise here to you that only is for those who obey Him. This promise is not for the whole church. Because you have to obey Him to experience it. And you have to go through seasons where your flesh will tell you God's not going to show up. That promise you want, that desire of your heart that He wants to give you, it's not going to happen. It never starts the first day. It's after a few years. When, God, when? You think He would tell you, right? He'd give you a little carrot. But He doesn't. Why? Because in His heart, His word is truth. He's not a liar. And the promises He's given to you about your future, about your calling, about your family, about your finances, He still sees it as done. You may not see it, but the moment you act like most of the church world and you disconnect from His obedience, from His will, and you step just a little hop over, but this time you're in charge. And you can make decisions. That's why it puzzles me when I hear people say, I decided I'm going to leave this church. I'm not just talking about this church, but any church. And I say, what does that have to do with it? Well, I got this reason, that reason, this reason. You know, you're in a family. And, you know, I have my beautiful family. I have a beautiful wife, 2 children. We just went for a 2-week trip to Tennessee. And when we travel like that, we stay in, you know, at Chrissy's mom's house. And we all stayed in one room. Someone said, well, I want a father that doesn't ask me to do things. You know, I have a beautiful wife, but that woman requires things from me. You know, can you believe it? She should just be my wife. What do you want from me? You're my wife. That's good. Good deal. I'll give you a ring. We're good, right? What? You want me to go get money? We're not supposed to have problems. We're not supposed to expect things from each other. We're family. Family doesn't expect anything from each other. That doesn't work. Me and Pastor Dave, we come off a trip. Every time he says, oh, we're going to go home. It's going to be so nice, isn't it? We get to sleep in tomorrow and recover and get some rest. And I always remind him, Pastor Dave, you get to do that. I go home, and at 6 a.m, I'm going to have 2 little monkeys jumping on me. They haven't seen me for a week, and they're going to require my time. Living a life following God without being required, that's the group that wants to just fellowship with God. I put them in the Lamb's group. that all don't, I just want a fellowship with God. And I get it. But there's a point where God's going to start asking you to do things. He's going to expect you to do things. And it's not going to be paid, because in this side, in the side of the, what the church is I give God something, he gives me back. You be faithful, God will reward you. You give your money, God will pay you back. You want to be blessed, then give God money. If you're faithful with your time, you're holy, you do all these things, then God will pay you. God will reward you. But there's something better. We have to learn how to serve God, lay our life down for God, lay our time down for God, lay our heart down for God, but it's not to get paid. When I need something, I go to him as a child, as an heir of the kingdom, and I say, Father, I receive this because of who I am. We learn how to serve, we learn how to work, we learn how to lay our life down, but receive as children. We are unprofitable servants. We serve without pay because we're in the family business. I want to preach this again. Chapter 6, verse 25. This is for all of us. All of us who are obeying God. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's all you need to hear this morning. Jesus tells you, I could add this, if you follow me, you don't have to worry about your life. Well, shouldn't I worry about the clothes I'm going to wear? The food I have to put on the table? He has a promise for us. Do not worry about your life. How many of us struggle because we think, because the devil's told you, man, I've done this for 20 years and I got nothing to show for it. Can I tell you something I learned in ministry? I worked for other ministers. I was in ministry, but I worked for them. I helped them. God put me there to help them. But I found out if you work for someone else, you can build and be a part of really wonderful things. But when you leave, you leave them behind. When I moved to Tulsa, I came here with nothing. Had no proof of anything I did. Because I didn't do it for me. I did it for them. The Lord had me do it. But what I've learned here, the hours of praying, the laying your dreams down, not chasing them, not chasing your ministry. Because you can justify spiritual things. Like, God, I need to go win the world. So he said go, so I'm going to go. Trying to, you know, avoid. I got the phone call. Hey, what you doing? Oh, I'm here in Tulsa. Great. How's your ministry going? Oh, it's wonderful. It's going great. When are you preaching next? Oh, I got nothing booked. When's the last time you preached? Because, you know, I'm a preacher. When's the last time you preached? Oh, a few months ago. Do you have a job? No. You know, and you know, if you live this life, people question you. They think you're like an alien. Like, how are you surviving? I don't know. I'm just following the scripture. And the next question, well, how many souls have you got saved? You know, since you're not producing, obedience doesn't mean producing. How many souls have you got saved? I said, well, right now I'm working on one. And it's a big one. Because I'd rather work on your soul than my soul any day. Because I see all your troubles with me. I don't want to. But see, when you take the time in obedience, God sent me here. He's the one that has to tell me to leave. Not frustration, not opportunity. Not lack of things happening. obedience, hearing his voice. Because you go through these seasons of frustration. And it's your flesh and the enemy testing your will to trust the word of God or to find a way to fix it. What I found is what I'm doing and what following God and the praying is I'm building something on the inside of me. Something that wherever I go, I take it with me. I don't lose it when I leave. I take it with me. Years ago, Gary said, you can tell we're not putting the money into the carpet or in the chandeliers. I said, I know where we're putting it. The money's going into me. The chandelier that is going into me. All the tapes that Derek used to send. And all the time and effort and into letting you let God build you on the inside. Because there's faith that says, I don't need an outward proof to show that I'm worth something. I don't need to make a stack, come to God with a stack of things that I achieved to show him I'm worth something. All I have to do is trust him and obey. And even with all the things you could look at my life and judge me with, when I was young, started preaching, they told me in training, don't let people get close to you. You don't let the pastor or the sheep get close to you. Because if they get close to you, they'll stop respecting you. Because you find out that we all have issues. We all have personalities. But I don't take that road. I like people to see that preachers are normal. And you got to learn to get past normalness. Because we're family. We walk together. Right? So some people see my normalness and they wonder, how the heck is God using you? It's like when you're in third grade and your teacher goes to the bathroom. You watch your teacher go in the bathroom and you think, I didn't know they went to the bathroom. There's no great man in our family. We're all family. There's only one great man, right? That's Jesus. And in accepting that you are worth and valuable as worth and as valuable, and your calling is as important as anyone else in the gospel. Accepting that, saying, okay, I'm not wasting my time. I'm not here just to put money in the bucket. I'm not here just to fill a seat. You, as you obey him, are going somewhere. And when you get to heaven is when you'll see the price that you paid is worth every sacrifice. You'll see your family there with you. There's promises here that are for you who walk with him and obey him at all costs. Those same promises do not work for others who are sacrificing for him. They can claim them all they want. Am I preaching okay? They can claim them. I confess God for $1 million. And all he kept telling me was get on a budget. I don't want to get on a budget. I want $1 million. See, I'm meddling again. I need to get out of that. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I'm trying to encourage us today. I don't care how desperate it looks. I don't care how impossible it looks. I don't care how far off it looks. I don't care if you can't even see it. If you are obeying God with your life, he says to you, don't worry. He'll give it to you. Those promises he made you, he'll give it to you. I don't see it yet. What does that have to do with it? How long will you wait before you quit? Because the devil will make you suffer longer until you quit. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Can you imagine not having to worry about provision. Provision is the number one thing that harasses people. Some guys work in a factory. I had one man, wonderful man, loves kids. Him and his wife, they volunteered every Sunday. And had the, I mean, they didn't just sit there with the kids and entertain them, put on a video. They built displays and made puppets, and they love kids. And he was called to do kids' church, but the church couldn't afford to pay him. So here's what he told me. I mean, if there was any man who had been awesome at doing kids' church, here's what he told me. I retire in 7 years. And when I retire, I will get a retirement income. And then I could do what I know God wants me to do. How sad. A lot of people, they wait till they retire. And then before they can spend the money, they die. But if he wasn't going, if he would have followed God to a place where he quit worrying about his life, maybe God would have told him, hey, come on, let's go. Because if you ask me, do you want a giant, ginormous house? I don't like ginormous houses. They seem cold to me. I went to one house where I was preaching. And I mean, you walk in the house and these guys had so much money. They had to find something to do. So they had marble floors. I mean, stuff flowing in from Italy just for the floors. And it's like you got too much money. You just got to do something with it, you know. It felt cold. A home. I'd rather have a small home and be with my family. I'd rather have a little money and do what God has me doing than to have a lot of money. And this man, what a good man, but he missed it because church told him, you got to take care of yourself. When I retire, then I could do it. One man came to me and said, I got a business idea. Yeah, what is it? He told me. He said, and it's going to work. I said, why? Well, because when I make this business happen, I'll have enough money that I can pray. And I can go preach and not have to collect offerings. And I said, stop. That never works. It's a great idea, but you're trying to justify it because that never works. Ask me if it worked. Didn't work. Because if you're going to follow God, you have to follow him on this path that says, God, if you said I can go, then I'm going to receive everything I need from you. Not look what I can do so I can do more for God. Is this making sense? Because on this path of obeying him, you lose all power to fix it. You're not in charge anymore. Fear that God won't take care of you. Fear that God won't make your dreams come true. Fear that God won't make your calling come to pass. Fear that he won't provide for you. Causes so many people to serve God instead of follow God. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? I went 2 years of following God where I suffered every month, waiting to make sure, you know, I didn't trust that he'd show up. And so I'd worry, but I didn't change course. And he showed up. Finally, I started to get it. I said, why am I even worrying? You know, I wasted 2 years of worrying when I should have been acting like a bird and floating around having fun. So why do you worry? Now, let me stop there because most of you have tackled the financial issue. You know, in other words, you haven't fixed your finances in the name of giving God more so that you haven't gone off course. But many of you are fighting with this part, your future, your calling, the desires of your heart. And you're starting to get weary in believing that he'll take care of it for you. And when that weariness comes, if you play with it, if you tickle its belly a little bit, If you let it sit on your shoulder and talk to you, then it will start to get roots into you. And soon you start to get bitter towards God. I've laid my life down for you, and you still haven't given me this. And you get bitter, and then eventually you say, you know what? I don't believe you're going to give it to me. So I am going to go get it. Abraham had a dream that God gave him. He said, I'm going to give you a son. Well, we know from Scripture that Sarah didn't work in that area. Her body didn't work. So they came up with a plan. Let me give God what he's asking to do. So Sarah said, you know, technically, my handmaiden belongs to me. And everything she owns belongs to me. So Abraham, why don't you make a baby with Hagar? And how many know what happened? See, what does that tell you? Is Abraham's body still worked at that time. So they, in their power, did something in the name of God to give it to him. But that is not what God wanted. God does not want your offerings. He doesn't want your time. He doesn't want your effort. He only wants one thing. You. Will you trust him? No matter what everything says or who everything says. When do you stop trusting him? The first thing the devil will say. When you start to get frustrated. You didn't hear God. Maybe you didn't hear God. Maybe you missed him. Am I preaching right? Yeah. But see, if you let that religion that says you're not important, you are not valuable, you're not a key player in revival, then you'll start believing that. Well, why does God need me here? Why does God need me to spend time praying? I'm not ever called to preach. I'm not ever called to bring in $1 billion. So, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not a preacher, a pastor. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an apostle. See, that's religion that says you're not part of the body. Because you are just as important. And your calling is just as important as anyone ever to walk the face of this earth. Your calling is just as important. So when you hit that wall that says, you're not important, so why keep fighting? Why keep trusting? That's when we go into sacrifice mode and try to give him things. You can trust him with everything. And if you ever wonder why God's using you, not someone else, or why would God ask you to do this? Because he knows it's in you to finish the course. Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? For what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. The world will judge you and say, you know, you should get more. You should do more. You should plan better. What are you saving for retirement? Well, if I had more, I might save it for retirement. But I don't, because I'm following God. But I've never lacked. And if I never lack today, what makes me think that when I'm 85, I'm going to lack? Fear. My family, half of them are saved, the other half are running. What makes me think they won't make it to heaven? Fear. Worry. So what do? I have to face that worry. What about your calling? You know, at 20 years old, you were supposed to be you were groomed to be a mega church pastor. How's that going? Look how... I'm just happy I get to preach here. How's it going? Well, those other guys you were raised with, they're all preaching, got big ministries. How's it going? It's none of my business. You know, you may have wasted all that time. You don't let another man judge you. You don't let another man convict you. You stand boldly with what God's given to you, because what's given to you is inside of you, and no man, no ministry, no devil can take that from you. For after these things the Gentiles seek. You go to school, they'll teach you. Okay, here's what you need to do. You get a job, enough money to make money, then you can make more money. Put so much aside, and all that's good wisdom. I'm not against that stuff. But some people live for their future, financially. They don't quit until they retire so then they could follow God. And they miss out on the most important thing, that lesson of life, of learning to trust Him. Because in life, you know, some of the word of faith message that's preached is for young guys. You know, you have faith, you don't ever get sick. You don't ever go broke. If you have faith, you don't have trouble. And that's great when you're young. But you start getting older, you find out, my body's not agreeing with the word. Oh, you just don't have faith, brother. Shut your mouth, little guy, I'll knock you out. You learn that faith is not the absence of struggles, it's the ability to walk through struggles. Now they'll tell the Gentiles, will tell the people, if you don't worry about your future, you're going to starve. And you know what? They're right. Because in the world, if you don't take care of yourself, no one else will. But you're not of this world. You have a Father who thinks about you, has already laid a path out for you that will walk you in your calling and place your place in the body of Christ right alongside Paul and Peter and Pastor Dave and every other man that's walked or woman that's walked. A woman's not less of called than a man is called. There's a place in the body for you. And if you follow with religion, you'll say, well, my place isn't good enough. I have to have that place to feel be good enough. But there's a place in the body that He's designed just for you and a path to get there. If you keep praying in tongues and you keep obeying, you'll get there. And you can let go. Can you imagine letting go of having to worry about your future? That all I need to worry about today is today and being His will and not running off, not fixing it. If I just worry about Him today, then He'll worry about all those other things. I have family that's not saved. I don't worry about them anymore. It's not my responsibility to get them saved. My responsibility is to follow Him today and not be chased off His will. And I have a promise that I'll be in heaven with them. Because God can send someone over there that they'd probably rather listen to someone else than me anyway. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows you need all these things. He knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Here's what I want us to understand. Don't ever give a testimony or listen to a testimony of someone who says, I gave and God paid off my house. I gave and God got me a car. See, this is not a testimony the church needs to hear. But this needs to be normal. I follow God, He takes care of my business. Not a testimony of blessing or abundance. I follow God, and provision comes. I follow God, And I don't have to worry about what I'm going to wear next month. Where I'm going to get money for food next year for my kids. Because this is a promise. If you follow him, he'll lead you to your place in the body of Christ. He'll lead you and provide for you along the way and take care of the needs that you have. Sometimes we self-sacrifice or sabotage ourselves, we say. Had a young guy show up and said, I'm here to pray in tongues. I'm here to follow God. Wonderful. So that's a nice car you're driving. Yeah, thank you. I just got it. How much are the payments? $400 a month. And I said, you're here to pray? I said, there's a good chance you're going to have to sell that sucker and get yourself a little beat up car. What? Why? Because sometimes we self-sabotage. We do things, get in debt, start relationships we're not supposed to, so we can say, it's not me. I'm not choosing to not do that, but I have to pay my bills. I married a crazy woman or a crazy man, and they're not letting me follow God. We self-sabotage so we don't have to blame ourselves for disobeying God. God knows exactly where you are when he tells you to do something. He knows exactly what you owe. When I get out of debt, I'll finish with this. A young man came to me at the Bible college and he said to me, I got an opportunity to work as a manager and I'm in debt quite a bit. I'm having a hard time doing what I came here for and paying off my debt. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work real hard for 1 year and I'm going to pay off my debt. So then when my debt's paid off, then I'm free to do what he's told me to do. You know what I told him? It's a good idea, but it never works. You won't come back. Right now, you can follow God. You may like what he says, you may not like what he says. God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to quit my job. And you'll ask me just to pray and seek God. You know, one man came to me and said, oh, you know, because I started ministry when I was 19 full time. And a young man came to me and said, oh, I wish that I can get paid to pray. And I said, oh no, they didn't pay me to pray. They worked my tail off. You know, that's what I got paid for, you know. So you may start following God and he may say, you have to work. He may tell you to do things that you don't like. But see, when you get past the option of fixing it or doing what you like or not doing what you don't like, then there's no option in life. Just one. Yes, sir, or no, sir. And he won't let you down. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if the future is gone. And you have no evidence, you have no proof that what he promised you is coming to pass. Don't stop following him. Keep praying. Keep following him. Because when he gives you something, no man can take it from you. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to elbow for it. It's just there. I watch Pastor Dave. And God's... I don't know how he got it. I'm sure it's just Pastor Dave. No, I'm not making fun of him. Don't get mad at me. But Pastor Dave, and I can say this about probably all of you in one way or another, but just for Pastor Dave, he reached into God and he got something from God, from heaven. Everyone loves Pastor Dave. Everyone. And I'll go preaching with him, and other preachers will see that respect that's just on Pastor Dave. How many love Pastor Dave? See? And I watch other preachers see what Pastor Dave has without work. He's just Pastor Dave, and people love him because he got hold of God in that area. And you'll have the same thing in different areas. But I watch preachers look at that and go, well, I can do that. And they try to fight for that position in your life. They try to manipulate that position for your in your life to get you to give them what you just freely give to Pastor Dave. And they never get it. Because what you want is from him, not from man. And in your calling, in your life, God has that for you. It's just there. It's not earned. It's not something you build every day. It's there, wherever you go. And that's when you go out on the street, to the mall, to your workplace. And you say, oh, you need to be healed? I'll pray for you. Oh, wait, we have to create an atmosphere first. Let's bring in the band. Let's do a few minutes of worship. It's in you because you've obeyed him and you followed him at all costs. Do not get discouraged. When that worry comes and says, maybe it's not right, maybe it's not going to work, you're just not that important, don't play with it. You have to cast that down right then because it'll start to take roots in you. See, get hold of it and cast it down and you say, God, I'm yours. If I don't get one more penny the rest of my life, if I have to do everything I'm doing to survive, to work and do those things the rest of my life, if no one notices me or no one promotes me and all I do is what I'm doing today, if that's what you want from your servant, then I'm happy to do that the rest of my life. But I trust that this walk you have me on has a purpose. And just because I don't see it or feel it, I have your word that you gave me. I have your words that you promised me in prophecy. And today I have your steps. Because let me finish in one more verse here. I am trying to close. Let's see if I can find it. It's in Matthew still. Verse 34. We'll start in verse 33, chapter 6 of Matthew. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He's asking you in obeying him, not in just living your life and saying, in denial, they call it faith, but it's denial. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. There's a purpose in everything. God will take care of it. You can't use this verse. You can't use most of the New Testament unless you live in a life of obedience to him. And you can say, whatever comes my way, God will take care of it because I'm following him. And you can say, I don't worry about tomorrow. How's your ministry going? Today, I'm right where he wants me to be. What about tomorrow? I don't worry about tomorrow. That's his business. How much money you got saved up? I got enough for today. What about tomorrow? They'll be there tomorrow. Because my Father provides. What about your calling? Aren't you called to something? Every one of you is called to something. Not just to fellowship with him, not just to embrace him, but to do something for the body. Your body, his body has a purpose. And that's where he's taking you. And I hate that the process in my life takes so long to get rid of my plans and my lack of trust. But I see it building a trust in him. A trust that won't get discouraged. I followed you, God, and they put me in prison. I'm not supposed to be in prison. You said to go there, and now I'm in prison. I should have like a big offering. See, when you live there, you say, okay, God knew this was going to happen. It's not about my prosperity. It's about his will. Because we're changing the world. And for the only body that does it, let's do it. Let's do it right. But don't quit and don't see yourself as less important than anyone else. because we're all part of the body. Amen? Amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's lift up our hands. Thank you, Father, for your grace. We're not strong enough to make this on our own. We're not strong enough to fight the fear, to fight the frustration, to fight the worry of our future. We're not strong enough to overcome the unworthiness. But you are. And Father, your grace, it's all we need. You're our strength. That grace is our strength. That we know that whatever comes against us, whether it be an attack on our bodies, whether it be attack on our hearts or attack from persecution from people around us, Father, we know whether it be discouragement or fear of our future, whatever attack comes our way, we know we will get through it because your grace is all we need. We don't need to be strong. In fact, we're weak. But in you, we are strong. And we can overcome everything, every obstacle that tries to stop us. We are unstoppable because we won't fix it. We won't let our dreams come to pass. We'll trust you to give us everything. So right now where you are, you're leaving here with grace from him. That yes, you can make it. Yes, you can let go of your future. Yes, you can see your family saved. Yes, you can see finances come. For some of you, it will be such an abundance of finances. But it won't be because of your strength. It's going to be because of your weakness in his strength. Yes, you will see your place in ministry. Yes, you will see lives changed. And yes, when you get to heaven, there will be a lineup of people, many who you've never met, who will say thank you. For I would say to you, says the Lord, that many of you have not even noticed the little things that I've asked you to do and you did that touched lives. Many of you haven't even noticed the little things that I asked you to do, and because you did it, someone's life was saved and changed and touched and ministered to. Give credit to every little thing, says the Lord. Because in those little things, I, says the Lord, I am now able to touch someone else and rescue them and encourage them and show them my love through you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And I can see that for you, for many of you, but for you especially, I can see a lineup of people in heaven. Because of your obedience this far, you've already touched many, many people. Maybe you didn't preach at them. Maybe you didn't pray for them or give them money. But you being you, God used you. So Father, we receive our grace, the grace from you for us. We let go of our future. We let go of our dreams. We can let go of our call and our ministries. And we say, today we'll follow you. Tomorrow you'll take care of. And there's always enough grace for us. Thank you, Father. Say this with me. Say, there's always enough grace. No matter what I'm going through, there's enough grace for me. Amen.